This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It is time for your Celtic takeover. You can join us tonight and have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to say, as I always am, joined by the brilliant John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. John, a difficult, frustrating week for Celtic. Maybe bittersweet with obviously the weekend result in the Cup, but we have to start with the exit in the Europa League last week. A tie in which Celtic were facing Copenhagen, went to Denmark, didn't get beat, got the away goal. It was all there for the taking. No team wants to come to Celtic Park. And the way the team was playing, relentless, even at half-time, absolutely pummeling Copenhagen. It looked all Celtic, but something happened. John, what was it?
It was classic Celtic in Europe, unfortunately. We just seem to have this inherent inbuilt ability to really mess it up for ourselves when it matters most. And it's something that Celtic fans have seen a lot in Europe over the last few years. We spoke about it last week, about not progressing through a knockout tie, you know, for over a decade, 15 years or so. And I think that it was evident, again, last Thursday night, why we just seem to mess it up for ourselves. It just, that's why it's so difficult for us. I don't quite understand it myself. I think we're a better team than Copenhagen. I don't want to labour that point too much because they did finally beat us. But I think it was Celtic's, you know, own errors that ultimately undid us on the night. And it, as you say, just very, very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Yeah, very frustrating. And obviously, you're quick to admit there, John, you know, it was Celtic's own errors, but absolutely wasteful, woeful in front of goal. You know, the amount of chances Celtic had, you know, watching, I rewatched that first half again today and I thought, this can't be the right game. This isn't the game that Celtic lose 3-1 to Copenhagen and they crash out, because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, John. What happened? I mean, it actually took them a quarter of an hour, about 15 minutes to really get going, but the pressure that they got against Copenhagen, turning those chances, you know, and opportunities, they were flowing. What, they just could not get the ball in the back of the net.
The first half was, it was a strange pattern to the game, because I thought we started really well, as you've mentioned, the first 15 minutes we were strong. Then Copenhagen really came into themselves during the next 15 minutes or so, had a couple of breakaways of their own, and then we ended the half strongly. And you know, the message from Neil Lennon at halftime was, you know, be patient and keep it simple, and we're going to get the result here. He was feeling quite confident about it. And then there's the individual error in the second half. But, you know, as you've mentioned, we didn't miss a lot of chances. This wasn't down to any one person, or there's no scapegoat here in this performance. This was very much a collective effort to not show ourselves in the best light possible. It was not, you know, it was not Seminovic's fault. It was not Julian's fault or Rogic's fault. It was nobody's fall. It was just that collectively team off night. Those chances we should have scored in the first half would have put the tie beyond doubt. So you can't turn around and, you know, label Seminovic as the person who really put us out despite his error, you know.
Yeah, it's so strange, because I thought, you know, when I was waiting to watch the game, I thought, right, Celtic have got to be careful here because they've got the away goal. Copenhagen will be the one that will, you know, come and Celtic can find the space. Mm-hmm. But it was all Celtic. They were the one that were pressing. They wanted to kill off the tie. It just, John, I'm just lost for words and how it's ended up this way. Obviously, you mentioned it there, another big mistake for Julian. And we kind of, listen, we know he's class, we know of his talent, but there was a show about maybe five, six weeks ago, he made another mistake which led to a goal. It was the penalty. And he does have these moments of, listen, it doesn't mean him. I won't even say a moment of madness because it was a slip, but just moments that end up costing the team.
Yeah, and you know, that came about from Seminovic's poor pass back as well. So, I mean, it's just, I find it hard to criticise individuals too much after that kind of performance. I mean, if we dominated the match and then there was a defensive hiller in the last minute and they went through, it might be a different story. It's just, you know what it was, Charlie? It was very similar to the Clues result last year, you know.
Absolutely.
In the early stage of the season, it was just very similar. It was just, we seemed to let it all get on top of us for whatever reason. We just don't seem to play with the same confidence in Europe as we do in Scotland. And I'm not sure why that is. And I think that's something that Neil Lennon needs to assess. And he also needs to have a look at his squad to figure out who is and isn't good enough for the European level, because Celtic have dominated Scotland for so long that we are craving a bit of forward progress in Europe now, and there's not really any excuse for going out to a team like Copenhagen. So, you know, that's on Lennon and you know, the decision makers at Celtic Park.
Yeah, it's so strange even to say on Lennon. It was just, you know, because Celtic played really well and yet they've come away with a defeat. Obviously, Celtic did get back in the game. We have to quickly talk about Edouard and, you know, the penalty. I mean, the coolest man not only on the pitch but in the stadium, 60,000 strong at Celtic Park. And yet the way he put that penalty away. And obviously, John, doing this show with you, I've got to see Edouard, you know, every game this season watching Celtic. What a player he is. And I know we've gone about this, but now that I'm watching him week in, week out, he's a joy, isn't he? He's got a big future.
Oh, he's got a massive future. And he, as you say, that Panenka penalty was unbelievable. It's something Moussa Dembele used to do for us. I think he did that against Rangers one time. But in that moment when we're behind in the tie, to step up and chip the penalty past the goalkeeper, I think it even took the commentator by surprise, because he seemed to think he'd skied it or ballooned it or something, just with the way the ball went in the back of the net. But Edouard knew exactly what he was doing, and his ability is just unbelievable. And we say it every week, but it's true. He almost has run out of words for him, because he's that good. And Neil Lennon's, you know, impressed with him. Celtic fans are impressed with him. The club's impressed with him. I mean, we need to build a team around this guy. It might not happen in that way, but if you're looking at Celtic and you're wanting them to push on to the next level, then it's players like Edouard that you need to keep at the club somehow for as long as possible. And I'm not saying he won't. He's obviously going to one day leave for a more illustrious league. But if we can keep him for as long as possible, everyone will be very happy at Celtic Park. And, you know, having players like him just makes it all the more frustration that we're going out to Copenhagen. They don't have a player of Edouard's quality in their team.
They sold their striker.
Yeah, and Edouard's the kind of player who should have that kind of stage to show off his talent. He scored in both legs, and, you know, it's a shame that he doesn't get to go further in the competition.
It is such a shame, the player of that quality and that talent. John, we've spoken about the chances and how wasteful Celtic were. More annoying than that, more frustrating, if there was something apart from crashing out of the Europa League, was the fact that when Celtic did get back in the game at 1-1 and they're thinking, right, game on here, you know, all the momentum swung in Celtic's favour, conceding 2 minutes after, where was the, you know, just the older heads, the veterans, the, you know, the experience, the leaders, because you know you're at your most vulnerable after scoring. And that was a real kick in the stomach, wasn't it? A punch to the gut, conceding 90 seconds after drawing level.
Yeah, and that's what Lennon talks about after the match. It was all about, his problem with the performance was our game management and what happened after that goal. There was players far too far up the pitch. There was players out of position. Everyone seemed to forget themselves a little bit. And it was, you know, ultimately a bit unprofessional for me, for some of those players to be, you know, so non-existent in their defensive shape and system. I mean, I'm not sure what that goes down to. I'm not sure if they were just a bit excited following the goal, or they just had a real belief that, you know, this game was Celtic's now. But, you know, at that level, you can't let yourself get caught cold by the opposition, because, you know, I don't think Copenhagen are world beaters, but they're a good team, and then they will punish you if they do get a chance. And we saw that on Thursday night, didn't we? And they did take the chance as well and stepped up when it mattered. So fair play to them.
Yeah, and they obviously got that final goal. It was just compounding the misery, really. But Celtic obviously pushing up, and that was just adding insult to injury. But the game was gone then. I do want to talk about, though, it was weird, because obviously with Rangers going through and Celtic looking like they were going to go through, it was interesting because had Celtic gone through, two Scottish sides would have been guaranteed places in the Champions League qualifiers for next season. And obviously Celtic losing now, they have to depend on other results. Hopefully Olympiacos and FC Basel won't go deep. But even though Celtic, you know, they're storming to the title, they have this gap, that would have been great for Scottish football, whoever wins the league, because two places on offer, John.
I mean, the status of having two teams in the last 16 in Europa would have been magic. I think the coefficient is going to work out where we will eventually have two places in the Champions League. And, you know, and that's great. That harkens back to days gone by, and and it helps everyone in Scottish football, really. I would suggest. I'm a big believer that Scottish football's a bit better than people give it credit for. And so for it's important for Celtic and Rangers to, you know, show themselves off in the best manner in this competition, and even the Champions League if we're lucky enough to get to that stage next season. So we'll see how all that pans out. But now, you know, Rangers are back and kind of contributing to the coefficient where they weren't before. Perhaps it gives other teams an opportunity to come into Europa League qualifiers later in the process too and do something of their own too. So it's all positive. Scottish football's heading in the right direction for me. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here to talk about it, John, every week. Well, it was all positive because they got a reaction on the weekend. Celtic beating St Johnstone. We're going to talk about that because Celtic are in the semi-finals now of the Cup. So like I said, a bittersweet week for Celtic, but it ended on a positive. Love Sport. You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with my co-host, John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. And you can join John and myself and have your say tonight. What did you make of last week's disappointing Europa League exit at the hands of Copenhagen? Have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Put a question to John. What are you making as now Celtic go for 9 titles in a row? We will come to that. But before that, after that game with Copenhagen, John, Lennon said he wanted an angry reaction from his players. They absolutely battered St Johnstone. It wasn't the prettiest of wins, 1-0. Did he get the reaction that he wanted?
That's an interesting question. It was certainly a blood and guts game. You know, that it was very much a classic Scottish Cup tie that you would perhaps see in the 1950s rather than 2020. But, I mean, I don't think the performance was blowaway, but I don't think it was ever going to be. I mean, that's Lennon trying to get the reaction out of his players. And I think it was just such a difficult day conditions-wise in the pitch, and you know, it was a real slobber knocker, if you will. It was a crazy 90 minutes, and we've managed to create enough chances, but just couldn't quite put them away until we got that late free kick. And it looked like it was heading to a replay, and it looked like it was going to be, you know, a 0-0. That's really how it looked to me at one stage in the second half. But, you know, Celtic dug it out again and showed that fighting spirit that we've celebrated so much over the last few years. And Celtic don't want to end this run of cup wins. It's 34 in a row now between the League Cup and the Scottish Cup. It's a ridiculous run, and Celtic want to defend that trophy with everything they've got. And it doesn't matter in what conditions, what team, what venue it'll be. You know, that's what Celtic are going to do. They're going to turn up and fight every inch for the victory.
Yeah, because it is 34 domestic ties they've won in a row now. But it wasn't, like you said, the prettiest of football on the weekend. Something out of the history pages, John. But it is always difficult to go from that Thursday to Sunday, change the players' mentality, you know, pick them up off the floor, because they would have been there. They would have been thinking they can go deep, but they did turn up. And ultimately, you know, the result sometimes is more than the performance. Well, it's always more than a performance, but you want both. Yeah. And in this one, look, we're through, we're facing Aberdeen, and that is all really that matters.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the nature of a knockout tie as well, you know, you don't really care how you play as long as you get through it. And I think that, you know, that was about as close as we've come. There have been other, you know, scares in the past, but one of the most difficult games we've had to overcome in that 34-game run. So I think to get out of it with a victory, facing Aberdeen at Hampden again, you know, we've beat them 4 times at Hampden since 2016. I think they've only beaten us once since this run of trebles began. So they won't be enjoying facing us, and Celtic can look forward to a semi-final, hopefully get through that one again, and then play one of the Edinburgh teams in a showpiece final that should capture the imagination of Scotland.
Yeah, capture the imagination, John. And again, I don't want to get too excited, but we're talking about treble. You know, the League Cup has already been won. We're now in a semi-final of the Cup, yeah. You know, and you're talking about facing one of those Edinburgh sides. Mm-hmm. And then storming towards the league is potentially on the cards. I won't utter the words, but Neil Lennon quick to not pour fire on it, or water on it, shall I say, if I get it absolutely correct. But just to say, look, one game at a time, and let's talk about 9 first, or before any talk of trebles and 10, because you can't talk about 10 if 9's not won.
Exactly, and Neil Lennon's perfectly right to do that and temper those expectations a bit. You know, the trebles and stuff, or the quadruple treble as it would be now. That's something for fans to dream about. Like, the players can't be getting that in their heads. And it was probably a banned subject in the dressing room, I would imagine. I'm pretty sure it was last season. And Lennon's right to do that. And Lennon was right to kind of fire back at one reporter this week who suggested that if we don't win the treble again this season, would the season be seen as a failure? And Lennon said it was an awful question, a strange question, wasn't very happy with that line of questioning. And I think that's spot on, because I don't think, you know, winning treble should be the default measure of success.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, that's unsustainable. So I think Lennon's kind of trying to push back against that expectation a little bit and just keep his players focused on the next game, as you say, which comes, you know, tomorrow night, and is a really difficult one. So,
Yeah, it's a ridiculous question, John, because how can you ask that? Is that the standard, the norm, you know, winning trebles? But if we're being honest, it just shows how wonderful and how much Celtic have achieved that, you know, those questions are not only being thought of, but they're being asked.
Yeah, I mean, the reporter's trying to get a quote and fair play to him, but, you know, the point should be that Celtic have gone above and beyond in recent seasons rather than, you know, it's an unprecedented time in Scottish football history, unprecedented time in Celtic history that should be celebrated. It's like, you know, it's like when Liverpool got beaten, you know, when the people were saying it's the, you know, the end of their invincible campaign, but, you know, the right reaction to that is that they should be celebrated for the win and run they did go on. You know, that's the way I look at it. Whenever our run of trebles does not continue, or our league title run does not continue, you know, it will be gotten to begin with. But in years to come, you know, this period will be looked at on as incredibly impressive and a run that should be celebrated rather than the end of it, you know, seen as a failure.
Yeah, and one player I really want to talk about, obviously getting the goal on the weekend, although, actually, big question to you, John. Whose goal was it, Julian or Christie? But if it is Christie, 20th goal of the season, and we've spoke about nearly everyone in the lineup, John, but maybe someone who deserves a little bit more airtime and a little bit more praise and plaudits is Ryan Christie this season.
Yeah, I mean, his first half of the season was up there with the very best, you know, up there with the Edwards and all that, and I think, you know, it definitely was his goal. I think Julian said that after the game. I don't think he quite got a nick on it. So it just went right in. You know, Julian played a crucial role by being in front of the goalkeeper, but I think it did go straight in. So fair play to Christie for that. You know, since his injury at the turn of the year, that game against Rangers where he got injured and then he was suspended, he hasn't come quite back into the team with the same vigour and, you know, playing with the same confidence as he did before that. He's still, for me, getting up to speed, not in terms of fitness, but just in terms of, you know, confidence on the ball and off the ball. But he's slowly getting back to those levels, and that's going to be massive for us in the run-in, because if we've got a Ryan Christie at his peak, a Odson Edouard at his peak, a Callum McGregor at his peak, a Julian at his peak, and a Forster at his peak, then that's a spine to the team that no one in the country is capable of dealing with.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's why we're seeing the terrifying, relentless form Celtic are showing in not only the league, but in the cups as well, the domestic cups, of course. It is Livingston away tomorrow, John. What are you making of this one?
Well, it's going to be a difficult match, and we can't take this one for granted. They're the only team to beat us away from home in the domestic competition this season. And they did so quite handily when we played them in October. They beat us 2-0. Lyndon Dykes gave Christopher Julian a torrid time at the back, and I think he really learned from that and had adjusted much more to Scottish football after that game, to his credit. But, you know, he's got to prove himself tomorrow. He's got a bit of a demon to rest there in terms of his performance at Livingston. And this is going to be a tricky game, perhaps one of our trickiest of the last couple of months. And, you know, Ibrox isn't that far away now. You know, it's a week on Sunday. There's two matches ahead of that. Not dropping any points going into that match is massive and crucial. So we need to be on the ball tomorrow. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and a bit of a weird one, John. Obviously, it is the Celtic fan show, but, you know, issues that obviously contain Celtic. Rangers going deep in Europa League or going further in Europa League, and not that that was great from a Celtic point of view, but it does help that they are still in another format when Celtic aren't. They have more games to contend with. That will only surely help Celtic's league and cup runs.
Well, of course. I mean, their fixtures, I mean, if they manage to somehow get past Leverkusen, then they've got, you know, a nightmare schedule. You know, their squad's not the biggest as it is. I think it's, you know, it's not a benefit to Celtic as a fan, but, you know, purely from a playing point of view, I mean, I'm sure Neil Lennon might be quite happy that they're still in the Europa League, for example. So it is a factor. And if we manage to pick up, you know, our results tomorrow and Saturday, we have a free week. We don't have a midweek game next week ahead of Ibrox, and they play on the Thursday. And that's just a massive advantage for us, and not something that would have happened, you know, had we progressed against Copenhagen. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I would, you know, substitute, you know, the last 16 for having a free win midweek next week. But it is just an offshoot of that, and we should be well rested, well prepared for that fixture at Ibrox on the Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. John, Livingston prediction then?
I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game. I'd be delighted if we escaped it 1-0 again, just like Sunday against St Johnston.
Yeah, and there is another game obviously going on. You're talking about those teams. Hibernian are playing Hearts. Hearts are leading 1-0 in the Scottish Prem, and it's St Mirren on the weekend. This is, again, it's, what are you making of this crunch test?
I mean, St Mirren at Celtic Park, it should... I'm not going to say it's an easy 3 points because that's disrespectful. I think any team's capable of giving us a game in Scotland, but you know that's a game we should be looking at and looking to comfortably win, I would suggest. I don't want any dramas in that one with Ibrox the next week. You know that should be a comfortable 2-0 or 3-0 for us, I would suggest.
Yeah, and there was a bit of news earlier on, John. I don't know if you saw this, but a football shirt, a rare football shirt, was stolen from the National Football Museum. It has been returned, but it was a rare Celtic football shirt as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was part of their kind of worst kits ever display. And one of the collectors up here had sent it down so that they could display it. And, you know, fair play to that guy because I think it was hidden, you know, was reported to the police, but I don't think it had been handled for quite a while. And then I think he really kicked up a fuss on social media and it got covered by loads of news outlets north of the border. And so I think that's basically how it's come about. So fair play to him for being persevering with that and making sure that the shirt gets back to on display if it's there or if he just takes it back into his collection. But yeah, certainly it was a funny story. It's not a funny story, an odd story that has got a happy conclusion.
I'll be honest, I quite like the shirt, John. I don't know why it was in the worst kits. It's a bit out there, but I'm all for it. Just quickly, John, when we're talking about Livingston and St Mirren, I know they're down, you know, towards the bottom of the table, but why I say crunch test, because when Celtic are running away with it, do you think in terms that the games get easier because Celtic can steamroll them or because everyone gets a little bit harder because the pressure and the expectation of continuing that run and, you know, everyone's going, oh, you got to slip up at some point?
Yeah, I mean, well, Livingston are safe from relegation, but a team like St Mirren, for example, you know, every point is crucial to them. Now, they're not, you know, they're not in imminent danger of going down, but they're certainly in a battle down there. So they need every point going as well. So it suddenly becomes a lot more, you know, if they can come to Celtic Park, dig in and come away with a 0-0, for example, would be massive to their season. So you do have to watch teams up and down the division. I take no game for granted. You know, I always have hopes that we're going to win quite comfortably every match we're going to, whether it's Copenhagen or St Mirren, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, you can't take these teams for granted in the Scottish Premiership, regardless of who you play.
Yeah, absolutely. John, always good to speak to you and get you on. John McGinley there. Make sure you check out John of the Grand Old Podcast for obviously extra Celtic content because they are fighting on all fronts. What an end to the season it will be. And in a turn and a twist of shows, we are doing a reaction show next because there are so many games. But the Celtic show will be back as it always is next Tuesday, 8:30 to 9:30, right here on Love Sport Radio. It's a grand old team, be dad. When you read its history, it's enough to make your heart grow sad. God bless. This is Love Sport.